Forrest and Bird are pleading with local and central government to step up their 1080 predator control programs in light of this year's mega mast identified around the country. The organisation says there's already been an increased rat plague caused by the mega mast events, but the worst is yet to come. Debs Martin is regional conservation and volunteer manager at Forrest and Bird. She joins us now. Hi there, Debs.
Hello, Jesse. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Oh, there's this little burst of music as your voice started. That was pretty impressive.
I
wish that happened when I said hello. You guys, you have produced a map. And what does the map show?
Well, basically it shows the two areas. One is we know where all the masting events are occurring. So we know essentially where the forests have been doing lots of fruiting and flowering and obviously producing a lot of food that will be tucker for the rats. And then the other map relates to how much area of predator control that the Department of Conservation are actually doing in terms of this year's beach mast.
Right. I think possibly people assume that there's a lot of pest control going on around New Zealand. Mm. What sort of percentage of the country has some sort of control going on?
Okay, so we've got about 12% of the conservation land that DOC manages, or roughly about 4% of the entire country, is actually receiving the aerial 1080 that's needed in this mast year. So not as much as we would hope. I mean, clearly the areas that we're seeing we know that the rat numbers are climbing. Like, for example, my backyard, 166,000 hectares in the Mount Richmond Forest Park, and there's not a single, there's no predator control going on there at all, other than what we're doing in 250 hectares at Pelorus.
Yeah. Mm. And it's hard to conceive of spaces like that, isn't there? And particularly, we'll get on to 1080, a tough topic for some people, but often people think, well, let's not drop poison, let's use traps, but first of all, there's literally no way to get into these areas, some of these areas, right? And the other one is just the vastness of the landscape, how big it is.
That's right, Jesse. I mean, we are trapping at 250 hectares at Pelorus Bridge. Well, it takes people an hour to drive there, mostly from where they're coming as far afield as Nelson or Picton. So that's an hour's drive. And then they have to do their trap line, which can take them all day. So we've got 30 volunteers who are coming out doing their trap lines and driving home, and that's only 250 hectares. So when you start thinking about 166,000, some of which takes a couple of days to walk in to, there's just no way we can do that by putting people on the ground in traps, let alone the steep ravines and amazing rivers and mountaintops and things that we have just make that kind of terrain impossible to put people on the ground. So aerial, the work of helicopters being able to get to these remote areas is so important for predator control.
Yeah, and there's a tendency, I think, for people who are trying to spread the good words about what 1080 can do. There's a tendency to say, hey, it's great, you know, it's a really good thing, don't listen to other people. But it's slightly more subtle than that. Like, I think probably a lot of the people using 1080 would prefer not to, but realise that there is no alternative at the moment, right? That the alternative is watching our native species get wiped out.
That's right, Jesse. I mean, for me, I'm passionate about our environment, and of course we don't want to use toxins unless we absolutely have to. And this is a situation where we have to, because we've seen, for example, the mohua, the beautiful bird on our $100 bill that you talked about just recently on Critter of the Week. But, you know, we've seen that go extinct. We know that colonies of long-tailed bats have gone extinct. We've locally extinct in areas. And then some, like the greater short-tailed bat, has actually fully gone into extinction as a result of ship rats arriving into an area. So, you know, if we could do things another way, I'm sure we would. But this is a really essential tool in our toolkit, and at the time when we need to, we should be able to use it. And obviously, people can do trapping. Trapping around the edges like what we're doing is really helpful, but it can't be the answer when we're talking about hundreds of thousands of hectares. So, yeah, I think it's fair to say we'd actually really like to achieve a predator-free New Zealand, you see. That would be awesome.
Yeah, a long way from that at the moment.
We are.
And I should say before we move on from 1080 that I always tell people the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment did a really robust and super science-y report and looked at all the evidence around 1080. So if you want the facts on it, Google that PCE reports. That's a neutral report.
It's an amazing report, actually, Jesse, because I think, you know, the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment said, if anything, she was so persuaded by the science backing it that rather than just saying, should we use it, her answer was yes, and we should use it more.
Yeah, but to be fair, she goes down through all these concerns. She says, does it affect non-target species like kia? Does it, she looks at all the times when that's happened, you know, dogs, does it go into the water stream, which it doesn't. So she goes through all these major objections, so it's a good place for people to start. Now, tell me about this Mega Mast event. What's happening this year that's different?
So what's happening this year is that we've got a lot of trees that are fruiting. So starting off, you know, we'll have trees like Tawa, we've got our podocarps like Kahikata, Totara, Arimu. They all produced a lot of fruit this year. Now, they don't always produce fruit, so because of the really warm summer, they've produced fruit in abundance. Now, that's dropped to the ground, and that's amazing food and fodder for things like kereru. They love the Tawa berries, and, you know, a lot of our tui and bellbird. They'll be feeding off these fruits. But it also means that we get rats, because as they drop to the forest floor, the rat numbers just love them as well. And then what happens in some of our beech forest is the beech starts seeding, and they drop their seed in autumn, which then once, even though we've got, so we'll have rat numbers building up, and often in winter rat numbers will die back. But in a beech mast year, rats are great storers, and so they'll gather up the seed and they'll store it, and it will get them through winter, which means rather than their populations crashing, they go into overdrive. And that's what we're seeing right now. And as they go into overdrive, then the stoats come along because they love feeding off the rats and they go into overdrive. So we have this system that then as we hit spring and the beech seed germinates or rots, we've got heaps, literally thousands and millions of hungry rats and stoats out there in our forest. They're looking for food, and they'll be looking to, you know, birds in their nests. They'll be looking to bats in the roost of the trees as well. So, yeah, it's a pretty vicious cycle. It doesn't happen all the time, but this time it's the worst cycle, probably in about 40 years.
You ever seen a stoat out in the wild?
Oh, yes. One of my most terrifying moments was I'd been watching a tui actually sitting on its nest, coming and going, and I was really excited, put a couple of stoat boxes around the bottom to make sure of it, and I could hear this calling one morning, and I went out, and lo and behold, here's a stoat running along a tree about a branch about as wide as my wrist with the mother tui in its mouth, dead, of course. And so, I mean, these guys, they hunt out anything. They're incredible. Their noses are incredible. And they run up and down trees like you just wouldn't believe, really.
Hey, what's your... tell us about your bats.
Oh, the bats. So we've got long-tailed bats at Pelorus. They're tiny. They're most amazing creatures. You know, you can fit them in the palm of your hand. They're nationally critical, so they're more endangered than a lot of our kiwi species. They're amazing. One of the things about bats is people say, you know, blind as a bat, but bats can actually see pretty well. It's just that they use this thing like a sonar echolocator because that works better for them in the dark. So at Pelorus, we, you know, in spring and summer, we can see them flying up around the canopy of the trees. And, yeah, it's pretty exciting seeing them there. We, in years like this, GC, I really worry about the bats at Pelorus, because even though we're trapping, Like I said to you before, there's not a lot of other work going on. So in years like this, it's just we hope that they're going to be able to pull through. They're one of our, I think, one of our special creatures in New Zealand, and not a lot of people know that we have them. A lot of people think of, you know, the big bats that you might see in Australia. But ours are really small. They're really special, and they feed on the wing, so they'll catch little insects on the wing, and they make this little sound as they catch the insects. They have a little baby, it's called a pup, and they'll roost in trees, like a big old matai tree, so they'll roost in the hole in trees. And when the temperatures get really cool, they go into what's known as a state of torpor, which is a bit like semi-hibernation, so they can slow their body down so that they can conserve energy to get through the winter.
Good for you, Debs. Nice to chat to you today, and good luck.
Thank you, Jesse. Nice to talk to you as well.
Debs Martin, Regional Conservation and Volunteer Manager at Forest and Bird, and Debs and her organisation say that local and central government need to step up their predator control in light of this year's mega mast, and they need to get 1080 to more places in the country. Someone just texted and asked for a link to the research I was talking about. If you just Google PCE, that's Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment, PCE 1080, you should be able to find it easy enough. Well, there's actually an article in The Economist, which is an international magazine, which talks about the sort of the 1080 story so far in New Zealand, and that's a pretty good one to read as well. I know, because I wrote it.